This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dennis Sports, Ich Heisen Ken, joining me on the show. We got Shelton J.
What's happening, man? What's happening?
FIFO 24/7.
What it do?
And they were laughing at me about my German, man. You know,
That's what that little, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So anybody from Germany, man, y'all hit me up. Let me know how to, I started learning this week, FIFO. So I know, are you ready is Bisht Du Verdict. And
Hey, you say that amongst some black women, they gonna slap the shit out your ass.
I know, right? but you know, I'm trying. And there was some other ones that I'm learning, like Gutu Mornin, and it's something else. But anyway,
Blitz Heineken.
But yeah. But nah, man, you know, it's a Thursday show, man. I'm more of a compact show, even though last week's show like went 2.5 hours. But but you know, it gets like that sometime. But tonight, man, we're gonna talk about the biggest news that happened since we've been gone. And that is definitely Tyreek Hill being ran up out of
Kansas. Huh? Ken, what's up with that narrative? He was ran up out of Kansas City. How, Sway?
Because they didn't want to pay him.
But that doesn't mean he was ran up out. They told that man, go seek a trade if you don't want to be here for the price that we can afford. Mm-hmm. How are you running somebody out? They gave him options. Where you want to go? That's where you want to go? Cool. We'll facilitate that for you. Come on, Ken. You over here. Is it because it's Andy Reid in them? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But all I know is the reports were they had a deal. He was somewhat cool on the deal. Devontae Adams got broken off, and he was like, nah, fuck that.
That's when it
y'all
changed.
Y'all gotta fix this.
Yep.
So
yeah.
That's what I think. But anyway, so and I can't necessarily say that I don't know if I fault him for it because he has a ring. So he's already a Super Bowl champion. So that's not a thing for him anymore. I think at this point, you know, having gotten a ring is you know, it's give me my money. Let me get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. Ken, I feel the same way. No, go ahead, Shelter.
I was just gonna say I get it, but I don't. I kind of hate that. Like, you get what you negotiate. I'm not watching the board to see what other people are gonna do necessarily. I'm gonna get what I'm happy with. And if I'm happy with a situation and a team, I'm gonna stay where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? But I get him wanting more. And I get the fact that we always talk about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is a temp job, the NFL. We always talk about that. Get as much money as you can. But how much more money could he have gotten out of this deal? I would really like to know what the real difference was and if it's worth your legacy, because you're leaving Patrick Mahomes to go to Tua.
True, but Shelton, let's be honest, right? Like, to Ken's point, the man already has multiple Pro Bowl appearances, has a championship and multiple AFC title games, right? So the legacy, even if he was to retire, I'm not saying he's first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's on that list. You know what I'm saying? He's been one of the most, if not the most dynamic player on the football field for at least the last 3 to 5 years. And there's plays that he makes that nobody else can make. And I understand it to a degree where you're coming from. But Shelton, right now, me and you would be happy with $1.5 million. They get 10 times that on a signing bonus, depending on what position. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's personal situation is a little bit different. And I think that Tyreek Hill has proven himself. And what do we always say about great tandems? Well, is he great because of Pat Mahomes, or is Mahomes great because of him? Now, I'm not questioning Pat. Y'all know how I feel. Pat Mahomes, I think, is the best quarterback in the league. But now he has to overcome something. And now Tyreek has to prove his worthiness as well, right? Because he got broke off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what come, and especially in the NFL, with those price tags, you got to perform. Because by the time you get paid, you've shown why you should have gotten paid. So now for the next 2 to 3 years, what was it, Ken? A 3-year deal, 4-year deal?
I can look it up.
Right. And I see y'all in the chat say, you know, y'all saying it's a business, stop it. Y'all get out of here with that, because if you think about it, it is a business. And that man, this is not that man's last contract. So you put yourself in the best position to get the most money. So unless 100%. They told you, we about to pull off this quarterback, if he can't get you the ball, we're going to get him off you. You ain't in your best situation. That means that your what you do best is going to suffer. Because this guy gets down the field, he improvises, he makes plays. Him and Pat Mahomes, the same thing we talked about with Devontae Adams. I'm not saying they can't have success. It's not what I'm saying, because I don't know that. But what I'm saying is, we knew what would happen when Devontae Adams was
with A-Rod.
Yeah. They knew where each other, same thing with Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. They knew where they were going to be. They knew the timing. They had all that stuff down. You go to a new place, you can lose that. Now, you're going to get your money initially, but that could hurt your next deal. You know what I'm saying? Your legacy was cemented and set.
You know, the only thing that'll hurt Tyreek Hill's next deal, if he looks slower on that field. Because here's the thing. Tyreek got a built-in excuse for not hitting the same numbers. And that boy too, and not Mahomes. But you see what I do when I get the ball, right? And here's the thing. I like it for both teams for a couple of reasons. So for the Dolphins, who has more speed at wideout than the Dolphins now?
I love it for the Dolphins.
And then who got more gadget guys that you could put in wide receiver bubble, screens, jet sweeps, wide receiver reverses, double reverse? Like, do you understand how terrified DBs and linebackers are going to be trying to cover that on both ends? Like, and this is the other reason why I like it, because not only is Jalen Waddle fast as hell, now you got Tyreek Hill, but people sleep on Mike Gesicki, the tight end. Mike Gesicki is a very underrated tight. Mike Gesicki is really top 5 tight ends in the league. You know what I'm saying? That defense, we already know what it is. You know, I think they took a slight step backwards. They're not as dominant, but they're a very good defense. So as long as Tua doesn't turn the ball over, obviously this is not going to be, he's going to be Pat Mahomes running, boom, throw with the left. That's not what's going to happen. It's going to be very structured. Boom, 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 get the ball out, you know, wide receiver bubbles and get the ball out quick and let those guys do what they do with the ball in their hands. So I like it for the Dolphins, because now it gives them the direction, and it also puts the hot seat up underneath Tua. And they still have 2 first-round picks in the upcoming draft. Not this draft, but the next draft after, where there are quarterbacks. So that's why I like it for the Dolphins, because they are not married to Tua. This is a la sort of like Baker Mayfield, where it's kind of like, look, bro, the team around you is pretty much, this is as good as we can get it. What are you going to do? You can't do nothing, then you out of here. It just is what it is.
And apparently it's supposed, the difference is millions of dollars. So
I didn't see how much difference it was when I made
that. Yeah, they're not, they haven't disclosed that yet. But yeah, FIFO is 4 years, 120 million contract.
73 guarantees.
With 72 mil guaranteed.
72.
Shelton. Nah, bro.
That's a lot of bread, bro.
I don't know what the other deal was. So,
But Shelton, you know that they couldn't get close. You know that they could not get close to that.
After paying Patrick Mahomes too?
They're paying Pat Mahomes. They're paying, who's the D lineman? I can't think of it.
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones. They're paying Kelsey.
Yeah, you're going to suffer. You know, eventually you're going to have to pay the piper with those guys. Eventually you're going to lose some guys. But like I said, and I ain't mad at the Dolphins. Don't get me wrong. Now last year, FIFO, you said the Dolphins had the most talent. This comes close to being the most talent. But they signed some monsters. They got Teron Armstead, Raheem Mostert, from San Francisco. They got Cedric Wilson from the Cowboys, who's going to be an afterthought at this point. Because you still got what's the wide receiver name that they got? They got a couple guys. They got Waddle, of course. What's the other one's name that starts? I can't think of his name.
Devontae Parker?
Parker. He's hurt a lot, but
he's talented.
Yeah, he is. I mean, they got people all over the field. They signed Chase Edmonds, who's one of my favorite running backs. But he's got to stay healthy, but I like this team. I like what they're doing out there. They made some moves. Now it's about putting the talent together. And
it's about Tua. This is all about Tua now. Because they have household names. They have brand name guys. We already know Teron Armstead. We know what how many years has he been? Like 15 years? Like he mm-hmm. we know he's one of the premier tackles in the league. We yes. know that Tariq Hill is the most explosive player in the league.
And Jalen Waddle is second.
Second. And then we know that Mostert is one of the fastest running backs. Like, we look, this is all about Tua now with the Dolphins. Either Tua has a breakout season, and what I think for Tua, what he needs to have is 25 touchdowns, less than eight or less interceptions, and he needs to throw for close to 4,000 yards. With 65% completion percentage, if not higher, because he's going to throw a lot of short passes. So to me, this is solely on the shoulders of Tua Tagovailoa. Now, on the other side of this thing, Kansas City, 5 first-round picks, a first, a second this year, I want to say it's either a third or fourth, and then like two later-round picks next year. Hey, you make this move. You make this move because, Shelton, you just said – it perfectly. You gotta pay the piper. When you pay your quarterback that damn much for that long, 10 years, when you pay Kelce what you pay, when you pay Chris Jones what you pay him, and then you see Tyrann Mathieu, they're not gonna be able to afford him either. They're either gonna trade him or let him walk. You know what I'm saying? So when you see all of this stuff happening the way it's going down, man, like the only way to replenish the cupboard is by getting the draft picks. Now, you got to hit on them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't have a question with Andy Reid and them about doing it because they put this together. So I don't question it. Mm-hmm. But that's the only way that you can keep the shit moving down the seat, because you got to get young, cheap talent. Once you pay certain guys, these guys got to be on rookie deals.
Yeah, you got to fill the box, and you got Juju. So mm-hmm. Juju's coming off injury, and Juju got something. He got something to prove. He really has something to prove. You hope Josh Gordon gets back and can play ball up to the level that you saw him play before. And you also have who else today did they bring in? Oh, you got McCole Hardman still. Yes, mm-hmm. of course.
See, here's the thing: you're gonna have to pay McCole. But you ain't got to pay McCole Tyreek money.
Oh, no. Nowhere near.
So you can keep McCole.
And I like what I saw out of him at the end of the season. I like when he was getting mad because he wasn't getting the ball and he was open. I like that. I mean, he showed me some lead dog tendencies in that game. Even though he didn't play the best ball, he was like, look, I'm open. Stop trying to force the ball over here when you can come to me. I like that. I like that wide receiver. You know, them type wide receivers, they tend to do well. So, you know. But the spotlight on him is really a good chance to see how he handles it. Also, I saw they were talking about bringing in Odell Beckham as well.
I was going to get to that. I like that. Yeah. Hey, remember, I talked about it a year ago. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, Kansas City, because I think even with this ACL injury, OBJ showed that he can still work underneath. Like, he's still a consummate wide receiver professional, meaning that whatever you ask him to do, he can do. Now, is he as explosive? No. Can he jump as high and run away from guys? No. But he's crafty enough to get open. And he got hands. Hands don't go nowhere. When you got hands like that, they don't go nowhere. The speed might, the explosiveness might, but he's going to be open enough, especially for a dude like Pat Mahomes, especially because he likes to ad-lib.
OBJ,
in my opinion, the same. Like I think him and Pat Mahomes can see eye to eye, especially when things break down. And I think that makes them dangerous.
That's what I was going to say. You think he shine with Stafford? Boy, get with Pat Mahomes where he can freelance. That'll be a beautiful, beautiful combination. I think Juju gonna have a good year too, though. I really, really mm-hmm. do. If you keep him and Pat Mahomes' brother off TikTok together, he'd be all right. That's the only thing that's stopping. Boy, but they got some players. And also with those picks, something to keep in mind that I thought about myself is, you know, Carolina does have Christian McCaffrey on the market. Christian McCaffrey is only 25 years old. And yeah, he got some injury history, but if he can stay healthy, it's never been a question of his skill. It ain't a question of that. It's just health. So with those extra picks, you know, you can kind of make a move over there because he on the market.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be something to show up that offense. You bring in a Christian McCaffrey Kelsey.
Yeah.
That loss of Tyreek Hill seems kind of minute at that point.
Yep. Because, you know, when you have a quarterback at the stature of Pat Mahomes with as many things he can do, right? Like, if you need him to stay on script, he could do that. If you need him to get off script, he could do that. Need him to throw the short, medium, or deep pass, he literally can do everything. And now he's reading defenses. When you add weapons, it doesn't matter how threatening the weapon is. It's just he needs weapons. So, you know, if you can go get an OBJ, you know, when he gets healthy, if you can, you know, bring back, like you said, Josh Gordon, and you could replace Tyreek Hill with a Christian McCaffrey. What that you do you understand the type of screenplays this dude? Who the heck? Andy Reid is gonna, bro.
Yeah.
What was the Eagles running back Westbrook? What was
Westbrook? Brian Westbrook.
Brian 2.0.
And then the thing about it is Christian McCaffrey's usage rate was so high. He was bound to be hurt. I don't know if you remember we talking about that then.
Yep.
That, you know, he was on the field 96% of the time. With this offense, you can choose to kind of pick and choose your spots. You don't need him out there all the time.
Mm-hmm. So they could probably get him for cheap, right, because of the injuries.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And like I said, they have those extra picks. Now you got five picks to play with. You know what I'm saying? You give up a couple of them picks and get in and bring in a talent like that. That boosts, like I said, that boosts your level. And also, y'all are right. I saw it in the chat. Somebody said how about Scanling from the Green Bay?
Yep,
he was in town today too. So I look maybe to them signing him as well. You can never have enough talent at this point.
No,
these guys are every team is loading up right now.
Yep,
and we seeing it happen. You know, AFC
except for it feels like, you know, Kansas City feels like they took a half step backwards. You know, understandably so. But it feels like Green Bay is like, y'all went from a contender to like, yeah, you're going to win the division, but you're definitely going to lose the first round. If you were already losing the first round with Devontae, what's the expectation now?
Yeah.
The only reason why you even going to win the division is because that's how weak the division is. The Lions is still nothing. The Bears should take a slight step forward just because hopefully Justin Fields gets a little bit, you know, more loose and comfortable. And then who's the other team in that damn division? Bears, Lions, Packers, Minnesota. Minnesota, honestly, is probably the best talented team in that division now. I'm only picking Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers is that good. But realistically, Minnesota now has an offensive head coach. I can't think of the damn name. You know, the advent of Justin Jefferson, who's the other wideout. So you know, what's his name? Ken, who's your running back? What's his name? Dalvin Cook. Staying healthy, you know what I'm saying, for a couple of years now. So I would not be surprised if Minnesota wins the division just based off talent.
We got a super chat from Drink More Water, what's happening? He said, wide receiver isn't a position you give huge money to. There's multiple on the field at a time, and you can't have one that makes more than the other team's receiving corps combined. Getting MVS is underrated too.
Hey, look, let me tell you something, Drink More Water. When that wide receiver can take a slant, split a whole cover three defense, and outrun everybody, even though they have angles on him, you pay that man what he want. You pay that man what he want. The same way you pay D-Hop, the same way you pay Devontae, the same way all of these top flight wide receivers. Because for a quarterback, it changes life. It changes. I could throw it up. I could just go throw it up. And more than likely, he going to come down with it somehow, some way, just because that's how special he is. Those handful. Now, I'm not saying that there's a whole bunch of, like, to me, Amari Cooper not worth that type of money. Now, is he a number one? Yes. Really good. But he not elite. He not, you know, throw it up. I'm going to just do whatever. DK Metcalf is on that trajectory. He just doesn't run enough of the route tree, in my opinion, to be elite. Deep ball, yes. Physicality, yes. you know, can he fake a, you know, a deep and come back? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But them other guys, Drinkwater Water, you tripping. You pay your top guys money.
All I think about when I see Tyreek Hill is what that night me and you came was watching, and he stopped and went backwards to survey.
Oh yeah.
And took off. I was like, man, what other player? I remember watching Le'Veon Bell when he used to hesitate. But even that's not Tyreek Hill. He steps, like I said, he goes backwards to go forward. It's crazy.
I think for me, when I think about this, the person that's on watch the most is obviously Tua.
Yes.
Like, we know or we've seen in, on the college level, like, you have all the requisite tools to do what you need to do. And now you got everything you need. They even got rid of the coach. So now, who did they bring in?
Let me see. I can't remember who
they. Either way, Brian Flores is out of there, and they got a new coach. So now you got Tyreek Hill and Waddle and all those other guys. So now what? Are you the guy? You know, at this position. So we will find out, and y'all know
Mike McDaniel.
I feel about Tua. So now there are no more excuses for him.
Mike McDaniel is the head coach. I forgot from that came from San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, so he brings some of that. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. That's right. White McDaniel.
I forgot, man. I forgot, man. I was gonna like the Dolphins too. Now I can't like them anymore. all hell that
you know what, man?
That light skinned guy.
So Nick isn't on the show, but in Nick's words, let you know, if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. Can you imagine if Brian Flores got the guy he really wanted in the draft, and he would have got Justin Herbert, and he would have pulled off this move? We talking Super Bowl contenders.
Talking perennial Super Bowls. What you talking about?
Perennial, because you know you got Justin Herbert. He's been in the league 2 years, another 3 years on a rookie deal, which is, you know, the majority of the time that Tyreek is on his, and you know you can move other things. Man, oh my goodness! But it is what it is. That did not that didn't happen. But I definitely think if Brian Flores got Justin Herbert in Miami, and they I think they would have kept Brian. I think they would have been in better position. And I think they still would have made this move.
So Deuce in the chat, Deuce is saying that Lamar is going to be a Dolphin next year.
Don't be surprised. I saw some people saying stop. Not don't be surprised. Because
why?
It's something to do with his contract and the way it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know the specific details. I just caught up on it in the chat. But, you know, Deuce was like, he's from the Miami area. The way that contract set up, it has something to do with the extension of franchise tag.
He doesn't have a new deal, does he?
Mm-mm.
Right. So he's playing on a one-year deal. So until he gets that extension, don't be surprised.
So, okay, so how do they clear enough cap space to outright sign Lamar? Would they have it? Because you had to pay him big bucks. We talking 150 plus.
Mm-hmm.
The cap is growing, and also, man, don't, you know, you can make moves. I mean, it's ways to go, you know, you can make it work.
Of course.
You would have
to. Who the Dolphins pay right now? Because they spent a lot in this free agency. So, I mean, they're going to have to let people walk next year if, you know, you're going to outright sign on Lamar Jackson. But here's the thing, though. If you put Lamar with them wide receivers, because we already talking about there's no secondary in the league designed to even contend with that. But then you throw a damn quarterback that's faster than 90% of wide receivers and DBs. Unfair. Just
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfair. Everybody's picking them in Madden. I'm gonna just tell you that now.
Oh, already.
I'll tell y'all what though, who the big winner is right now. The big winner is Teddy Bridge. Hold on 1 second. I got to take this off.
Well, Gonzaga is done. So they're gone. You know what? I think the interesting thing about they've never won a championship. Mm-mm. And they keep hyping them up every single year, man. At some point, we got to just let that. They just got to let that go.
But Carol, when you say hyping them up, right? Like, nobody can ever really predict who's going to win the tournament because it's always some type of big upset every year. It's just too many variables and it's one and done, right? It's not a playoff. So it's not the best team is going to figure it out and, you know, put you in your place. You may just have a better night tonight than we did. But Gonzaga has been very consistent, Ken. And they've had enough guys ever since Adam Morrison, you know, to come in and kind of galvanize that team. And this is our star. And they make moves in the tournament. This doesn't mean that they may win, but I don't think that they come in overhyped. They come in good as hell. Let's be honest, Ken. If Chet didn't foul out with almost 6 minutes to go in that game, that's a different game.
Maybe.
Ken, they lost by single digits.
They did, but it seemed like they were running everything through Timmy, maybe because Chet was in foul trouble. But
because look, a good coach, when you know that a star player is in foul trouble, I'm telling my defender flop every time. As soon as you feel his body, just fall. Is that not good coaching? Yeah. Trying to get the best player out of the game?
No, it is. Somebody did it to Kyrie last night. I mean, he didn't foul out of the game, but he definitely got a foul on him. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, and I think just looking at the post game, you know, interview that people not giving them a chance definitely hyped up Arkansas, and they came in amped up. They said they read everything, and they put it all on the television and the bulletin board. They came in ready to light them up.
Ken, that's some of the best ammunition a coach can ever have. Because you always need to find that angle that is going to agitate and motivate at the same time. And when you're talking major D1 sports and the mass media talking bad about you, it's like, y'all believe that? You know the hard work we put in every day. Y'all believe all this stuff that they saying? Go out here and prove it. All I got to do when you're a coach in that situation, all you have to do is let them see it and manage the game. Them guys with the pride, not ego, but with the pride, are going to go out there and leave it all out there. And it's going to be a game. It doesn't matter if you're playing the number one team with the most talent, the number 16. Like, if people are doubting you, that's the easiest coaching job that you're ever going to have.
Yeah. Rob, what we're shouting out the Raptors for, bro? I saw the big shout out to my Raptors.
Because they winning tonight, I guess.
Hmm.
They beating the Cavs.
I mean, I guess.
Hey, did y'all see the situation in Miami last night?
Yo.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. With Haslam?
Yeah, Haslam.
Jimmy I heard Butler, about it, but I didn't see it.
Oh,
who,
man. Ken,
who you had on that one, FIBA?
I was with Spo. I was definitely with Spo and
Udonis. No, I'm talking about who was going to win that?
Oh, Udonis. He from Miami, bro. Hey, look. Hey, Florida dudes is built different. This dude got hands. This dude 6'10". Nah, man. Jimmy don't want them problems. Jimmy don't want them problems. And I'm not saying Jimmy can't scrap, but he don't want Udonis problems.
Yeah, that's another level.
But Ken, so what happened? Okay. What happened last night, Jimmy Butler had a very weak closeout on the three-point shot. And I want to say that the other team, they got the rebound and got a putback or something like that happened. And Spo called the timeout. Obviously, Jimmy being, you know, the leader of that squad, that's not how, you know. So I think Spo called them out in the huddle. Jimmy didn't like it. But Jimmy's back is to you, so you can't see what Jimmy's saying. But you can see what Spo's saying. And Spo looked at Jimmy like, you trying to fight me? You can tell in Spo's face, he's like, bro. Like,
Spo say, I'm not trying to fight you. He actually
or said, something like
you
that.
It's online where you can see what they're actually saying. He's saying, you acting like I'm not trying to fight you. And so that's when Haslam stepped in. and was like, I'll fight you, you know, yep, and he started calling him out.
And then Jimmy stood up, and then you know how Jimmy is. Jimmy a hothead. Udonis is definitely a hothead. Don't you remember the time Udonis got into the game and like 5 seconds in he got a tech? Udonis a hot bro.
Florida
dudes is built different.
He got kicked out Florida in the game.
So Udonis kind of got in Jimmy's face. Is like, yo, I'll fuck you up. Like you look like you don't want to like, bro. Florida dudes built different. But anyway, then what happened was Spo saw the opportunity to motivate his guys. The reason being, Ken, and we got to add a little bit of context. They were losing that game. They lost to Brooklyn without KD and Kyrie. They lost to Philly without James Harden and Joel Embiid. And they were losing to Golden State without their big three. Mm-hmm. So we a championship team. You closing off soft. You're Jimmy Butler. So after, you know, Udonis got in his face, you could definitely, like, Spo already knows Udonis is an assistant coach that gets paid like a player. That's just what it is. So he know that Udonis is going to have his back. But then Spo started, you know, making, you know how Popovich used to do sometimes, you know, get out there, throw the clipboard, start cussing at Jimmy and stuff like that. Because that right there can, certain players, that's the button you press. With Jimmy, gasoline and fire is what you press. You press that and you know you're going to get the best out of Jimmy. So I think Spo took the opportunity to press them buttons to see if he can turn the game around. Because it's like, yo, first of all, we shouldn't be on no 2-3-4 game losing streak to teams without their best player. You think you're a championship contender? Well, we shouldn't be losing to these guys. So, and here's the thing. Like, a lot of the media pundits was talking about, oh, is it bad? Is it this? Is that? For a lot of teams, it would be. For a Pat Riley team, no, that's the culture. That's the 1990s, Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Derek Harper. That mentality lives today in 2022 in the Miami Heat. So it's okay because that's the culture. When it's not the culture a la Golden State, one blow up changes everything. In Miami, it makes them come closer together.
I don't know, man. I feel you. I understand the thought process behind what you said. But Jimmy, bro, he just rubbed people different.
And yeah, he do.
Miami's culture should have been tailor-made for him. Rough, rugged, we work hard, we grind it out, we ain't afraid of nobody, that sort of thing. And now you get called out for your shit, and you get pissed off, or you snap at Spo, and then UD, you know, run up in your face. Because I just looked up, I saw the video, and now all of a sudden, you know, you have less to say, because I see what y'all said in the chat too. Because I didn't see all that, like, he heard, I guess UD said, I whoop your ass, and Jimmy pretended like he didn't hear him. I didn't see all that. But either way it go, man, like, I wonder if this could cause fracture within the locker room. More than unification.
We gonna see. He said he was saying you don't play, bro. He was saying it back like you don't even play, bro. So he was talking back. It wasn't like he was just sitting there taking it. That's why Udonis was coming. It's like I said, there's a clip on YouTube. Somebody recorded it real good, so you can even hear it a little bit. You can hear audio, as well as they put captions at the bottom saying exactly what was being said. So you can see, you know. You can see it from a different angle. Whoever it was recording was right there. But yeah, it was a lot. And it can be a motivating factor, or it can be debilitating. It can tear them down too. We just don't know what's going to happen yet. But they needed a spark. They needed a push because the true colors were starting to show. They don't have a true leader on the court.
Jimmy's the leader.
According to
he's not a superstar like that.
According to Udonis Haslam, he's not. Because he kept saying you ain't a leader. That's what he was saying the whole time. You ain't a leader. You ain't a leader. So evidently, he's not.
But I've been saying it for the longest where Jimmy can't be the best player on a championship team. He's just not that guy. But can Jimmy be the second or third best player on the championship team? Yes. He just can't be the best guy. And that's their problem because they got the second and the third best guy with Bam and Jimmy. Who's the main guy? because it's not up Tyler Hero. Hell no, it's not Tyler Hero. And I'm not saying he can't play, and I'm not trying to disrespect him. Tyler's a baller, but he's not the leader on a championship team. Jimmy's not the leader on a championship team. Bam is not. They need that guy. That's why when, you know, they were flirting potentially with a James Harden move, or, you know, if they can get KD or any one of those proven guys. That's what that's the one thing the Heat are missing. Yeah. Like, I put it to you like this. You know, as enigmatic as he is, if Kyrie was on this team, I don't know how you beat them. You know, they don't have, they don't, I know they call him Jimmy Buckets, but Jimmy don't get elite buckets. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy get buckets, but he don't get elite buckets.
Right.
And that's the problem with that squad. They don't have a guy that you know night in, night out, 25-30. Jimmy's more like 16, 18, 30, 22, 19.
He gets 14, a dirty 30.
A dirty, you know what I'm saying? He took 30 shots to get them 30 points. And you in this NBA, nah, you can't win like that. You can't win. You need a guy to go get you elite buckets.
100%.
Damn, man. Yeah. I give Spoelstra some credit. Like, I don't know what happened, but he did come back on the court and confront Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did run back and get his ass back out there. But I saw the "you want me to fight you" part. So he did look like he was like, "What? Like, what's going on here?"
It did out of nowhere. He was ready to fight after he knew. Oh, somebody got my back. Let's fight.
Yeah, and then Adonis just went off. He just started snapping and yelling at Jimmy. Yeah, that's wild, man.
So, Ken, who you got? You got Jimmy or Udonis in a fight? Yeah, that man froze up.
I thought he was thinking. Yeah. I know. Hey, I thought he was really seriously thinking about the hate. Like, he was contemplating so hard, he didn't move. Oh, man.
Man, that South Georgia internet, man, is still different.
Yeah, he's still thinking. He must got some type of Mississippi charter internet or something. Mm-hmm.
But, Shelton, what else has happened really in sports? Go ahead.
I was going to answer that question. I was going to answer it. I mean, I was saying, you know, when I got that call, I was gonna say the real winner in that Dolphins thing for me is Teddy Bridgewater. Because they just signed Teddy, and if for some reason we do see Tua fail. And even if we don't see Tua fail, what we forget is Tua is so injury prone, he's not gonna play a full season anyway. In most cases, I think that he's gonna miss some games. So Teddy Bridgewater got a chance to reinvent himself, come out there and play decent. He's gonna get a shot at some point.
Shelton, I definitely think Teddy Bridgewater can play the game of football. My only issue with Teddy, he has a water pistol for arm. And that can only get you so far. What was the Jet quarterback, Chad Pennington? Chad had everything but the arm. But the arm, especially after the surgery he had.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched Huh?
I forgot about Chad.
Yeah. Well, I grew up a Dolphin fan, so the Jets, you know, I didn't like the Jets, so I had to know everybody about the Jets. And so just like they had a quarterback, Ray Lucas, that came after him. And so people forget about Ray Lucas. But anyway, Chad Pennington and Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy's just a black version of that, man. Every time I watch him play, I'm like, okay, when you can't get the ball out. he don't have the velocity. Now, there's a couple of things that play into his favor. Obviously, South Florida, it rains a lot, but obviously good weather every other time. So he doesn't have to really deal with inclement weather. Obviously, his wide receivers should get some separation, even in short route situations. But Teddy Bridgewater is a bridge quarterback. That's just what he is. He's the guy you bring in when you're not, quote unquote, trying to tank, but you don't like what's coming out in the draft.
You think Teddy's in Tyrod status already?
Yeah, man. That's what he is, man.
thing, man. I hope Teddy come out there and prove everybody wrong, man. But I don't think he will.
Shelton, what he gonna do? Like what's special about Teddy? He don't turn the ball over. That's the most special thing about him.
That's it. I'm being a homer right now. Well, not a homer necessarily, but I just like Teddy. I just like Teddy. That's all. I got a soft spot for Teddy after that injury, and I watched the story with his mom. And since that point, I've been when he was at Louisville. Mm-hmm. It just made me be a Teddy fan. So I'm hoping that he can play. But you're right, man. I'm gonna get off the Teddy train. But he gonna get a shot though. I still think. Oh, like 100. I said, at some point, Tua is either gonna mess it up or he gonna go down.
But, that's why he went there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. That's it. That's the fastest road to play. And everything is set up. Once again, whoever the quarterback is there should automatically be above average. Not great.
Oh, yeah.
Be above average. Because so you
let me ask y'all this.
You can't guard all of them.
No, you can. No, no. It's no, bro. Look, there's no secondary in the league that can contend with that.
They got five. They got five wide receivers because you got you got Devontae Parker, you got Jaylen Waddle,
Tyreek
Wilson from Dallas, and you got Preston Williams. They signed back. Preston Williams is the other wideout that he had a good year too. I think he had like 700 yards last year. So they got five wideouts, and you got the tight end. You got two running backs you brought in that are starters in the league. So you got everything you need, man. You got everything you need. And that goes without saying. You brought in the offensive lineman to show up that offensive line. You got everything you need. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is play the game at this point.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask y'all this because Ken's favorite quarterback has yet found a place to land. This you know merry-go-round that we call the offseason in the NFL this year. Should Baker be under consideration for the Dolphins? And I know that. A lot of the teams are talking about you gotta send Baker with a pick for us to even consider it, or you know, we'll take on Baker if y'all cut him, or XYZ. Should the Dolphins consider? Because here's the thing, in my opinion, Baker is an upgrade from Tua and Teddy Bridgewater. And he's only under contract for one more year. Or do you want them when I say the Dolphins to not be that good so that way they could potentially get a top 10 pick in this upcoming draft? Like, which way do you think they should play?
I don't think that can happen. I don't think they'll be that bad, but I don't think that Baker is the answer. Baker's not going to be the answer to your problems. He's not that Super Bowl quarterback that you think of, even with all the talent around him. He's proven that. He had all the talent last year. You see what I'm saying? So, that's not necessarily your answer. I think they're going to stand pat with what they got because like I said, Teddy, I think, is good enough. And I think Tua's going to do okay this year. I really do. I mean, I think he has a chance to prove it. I think this will be the first year that he's truly, truly healthy. Tua had a serious injury in college. And it takes some time to get yourself in this league like that. And I think that everybody doesn't come in the league and burn it up like Nick think because of what happened with Joe Burrow. But I think he's going to be fine this year. I really do. I just think that he has a year under his belt. And I think that even though there's pressure involved, I think he's equipped to handle it. I think he's going to be okay.
Shelton, let me ask you a couple of questions regarding Tua. In your opinion, what is his biggest weakness?
His biggest weakness is the fact that he's a smaller quarterback and just being able to read the field at this point and see what's going on, his decision making.
So what's his biggest strength?
His biggest strength is his short game accuracy, even though he doesn't have the long accuracy. And the fact that he is still a leader. I think he's a leader. I think he can get it. I think he can pick up and get it. But most of his stuff is intangibles. Most when you're talking on the field play, he's pretty much average to a little bit above that.
Yeah. I think when I watched Tua, you know, through his first 2 years, this is upcoming on his third year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know how I feel, 3 to 5 years, you got to give players. But when I watch him, he rarely flashes off the screen for me. And I feel like his ceiling is, you know, a little bit below average, and his floor is a little bit below average, and his ceiling is barely a smidge above average, you know? And to me, if you're going to win with that type of quarterback, this is the type of team you build, you know, where it's like, we can't lose because of the quarterback. We got too much to lose because of him, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over. And that's one thing I do like to a degree. I think he'll continue to cut down the turnovers because I think Tua is a bit risk adverse. But we'll see the type of offense, right? Like, obviously, I'm assuming that they're going to run more so of a West Coast offense. So like timing, like get the ball out. You know what I'm saying? We're going to misdirection. You know, we're going to play fake or play action this way. We're going to get the tight end, run a shallow, then go deep. You know, like they have a lot of things that they can do. And then you kind of sort of have, you know, maybe not as powerful, but a different version of Deebo Samuel with Tyreek. You could put Tyreek in the backfield. You can, there's so many things that you can do now that could take pressure off of Tua and just simplify the game for him. And I think for the first 2 years, that's what they've been trying to do. You know, if you look at how many attempts he has that's less than 10 yards, I'm pretty sure he's top three, top five in the NFL. He doesn't throw the ball downfield a lot. But I think that you have to take calculated risk with this type of weaponry of, okay, you know, he's going to get 3 to 5 opportunities a game. And he got a hit on him. He got a hit on him. But I'm excited. I wish, and this is not going to happen, but I wish the Dolphins somehow, some way can get Malik Willis. Because I just watched some of his pro day stuff or combine stuff. I don't know where it was. When he rolled out and threw that thing like 85 yards in it, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? All that speed, that's what you need right there. That's what you need right there.
Yeah, they say the Steelers, I saw a report about the Steelers, but they would only take him, according to this article, if he was cut, make it to the Steelers. So,
That's what I'm saying, Ken. There is a market for Baker, but nobody's willing to give up compensation to get. You know, they either want the Browns to send them with a pick or cut them, and they'll pick them up for whatever they'll pay them for.
Last thing I got, Duke ended that game on a 26 run versus Michigan State. I missed that game. I saw y'all talking about it in the chat.
Yeah.
But, damn.
Texas Tech going to beat Duke tonight, though. Mark it down. Texas Tech is going to beat Duke tonight.
Why you say that?
Texas Tech is rugged, and they're long, and they make plays. I just think that Duke has a lot of flaws, just like Gonzaga was hanging on. This Texas Tech team is rough. Manny ain't gonna be happy, but when he watches this game, he'll see why. You see, your boy shooting air balls, Fivo. That's the second one.
Ranchero.
I'm way behind y'all then.
Yeah, me too. I only guess because I know you've been talking about him, Fivo.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players in this upcoming draft.
I haven't seen Duke play all year, and I haven't seen Texas Tech play all year. So I'm gonna listen to you, Shelton.
They say I'm hating, man. They say put money. I ain't hating. I'm just being honest tonight, man. I'm just telling you.
The last thing, Kyrie, man. That mandate, I think it got lifted today. It should have been today.
Yeah.
So he back full time.
He back playing home games. That's bad for the rest of the East, especially for a team like Miami, because you don't want that in the first round, mainly because I don't think Miami can overcome it. But if Miami does overcome Brooklyn in the first round, then that says a lot. That says a lot. If they can beat Brooklyn in that first round, I think that type of confidence, we might see another bubble run for them. Because like I said, Miami, that whole culture is pressing buttons. And if Spo presses the buttons, he got the right combination to unlock to beat the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie every game.
Y'all see what I'm saying? 8-2. It's 8-2. Hey, let me ask y'all something.
I'm at 4-2, bro.
Yeah, me too.
It's 8-2. Duke just turned it over twice. What was I going to ask y'all about that? Oh, if Brooklyn is matched up against Milwaukee in the first round, who y'all got?
Brooklyn.
I got Milwaukee. Brooklyn and Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm. 10-2. 10-2 Texas Tech.
I think KD would have that matchup.
Yeah, I went live. I like that. Yeah, he is long and quick.
Marty McFly,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let's put some money on this 10-2 game.
Mm. I mean, it is Milwaukee, early Brooklyn. Who you got, Ken? You said Brooklyn.
I'm going next, man.
It's gonna be hard to stop Kyrie because I think him and KD gonna be motivated in this postseason. It's gonna be hard to stop him. But going against Milwaukee would be perfect. But I kind of would like to see that later. But that would be nice.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going Brooklyn as well because when I'm playing the scenario in my head, they can't stop Giannis. Giannis is elevated to that stature. And the main reason why I say that is Giannis is either number one or number two in fourth quarter scoring. You can't stop. He's going to do whatever the hell he want to do. But then when I think of the others, you know, Chris Middleton, you know, when I just think of Jrue Holiday on the offensive side, defensively, we know, but as much as I love Jrue and I know how many guards he locks up, he's not doing it with Kyrie. Like come on, man. I think Kyrie is probably the most unguardable guard that we've ever seen off the dribble. As much as I love AI, Tim Hardaway, Isaiah Thomas, you say I could keep going on, but ain't nothing you could do with Kyrie off the dribble, dog. Like, I don't care who you are. Michael Jordan got his shit all the way crossed up multiple times. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and then when I think of the big gamesmanship of Kyrie, we've seen Kyrie and LeBron against all odds, 40 together. We scoring 80, 90 together, man.
Yeah.
And I know Milwaukee ain't got nobody. You better put Giannis on him. That's the only way you stop it, Kyrie, dog.
Right.
That's the only way.
And then when Kyrie sit down, you got KD. What you gonna do with that?
Exactly. And to me, the place where my brain went was Cavs Warriors. And as great as LeBron is not the caliber of scorer that KD is. And I think LeBron is going to finish his career all time most points scored. And I don't think KD is going to come. I don't think KD is going to pass. I don't think nobody's going to pass him for a very long time.
Think
about how long it took somebody to pass Kareem.
And Draymond going to be there.
Who?
Draymond going to be there. Draymond said that when LeBron breaks the record, he's going to be there. He's going to skip the game to go watch LeBron break the record.
I feel him. Because that's a piece of history that's going to take another 50, 60 years to beat. It just, that's what it's going to take. But anyway.
I don't think they would.
I don't think so either. I think I'm going to die and not see the person that passes LeBron all-time scoring. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually what's going to happen. But when I think of LeBron and Kyrie scoring at will and just willing their team, but now you got KD and Kyrie, I don't know how you can slow that up. Chris Middleton ain't got nothing for KD. And Giannis can't guard everybody. That's why I got Brooklyn.
Right.
Well, we're not sleeping on the Celtics, y'all. Come on now.
Nah, Celtics is nice, but they ain't got nothing for Kyrie, man. The whole East ain't got nothing for Kyrie.
And let me ask y'all this, too. And I meant to ask y'all this in the chat, and I forgot to ask it. Which team is going to suffer more for losing their number one receiver? Will it be Green Bay or will it be Kansas City?
Green Bay. They also lost MVS.
Well, I'm just talking about,
one for one?
People, when you talk about, you know, other people.
Everything. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about Green Bay. And the reason being, we saw it in the playoffs. If A-Rod throws you a ball, you don't catch it, or you're not supposed to be, he not throwing it to you no more. He don't trust you. Mahomes, he, man, look, if you open, bro, like, we, it don't matter. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I think Green Bay, because now who does A-Rod throw to?
Shoot. We don't know. The tight end. Let me get these couple super chats I forgot real quick before he they get out. Tracy G said, well, let me do this other one first real quick, because that's a question we're gonna get into. Who's that said that, Mr. T? Mr. T, what's happening? Let me get yours real quick. He said, seen a stat saying that the Bulls are 0-16 versus the top three teams in each conference. Talk to me, FIFO.
Damn, that's a damn good stat. I got to look to see who played, if there's injuries. But honestly, that's just me trying to talk my way out of it. That's unacceptable for a true championship contender. Am I considering them a championship contender at this point? Not with the injuries, but still, that's no excuse. But they're better than the Knicks, though. That's all I said. They're better than the Knicks.
Long as they keep that stat.
As long as they're better than, as long as the Bulls and the Hawks are better than the Knicks, I don't care what happens.
I'm gonna have to find that episode.
Tracy G said, is the media mainly Molly going too far tarnishing and trying to bring down Deshaun Watson, even though no criminal charges, civil suits doesn't equal guilty?
Yeah. I like Molly Karam saying, you know, I feel like we're too quick to judge what has really happened. Because is somebody guilty based off an allegation? Come on.
What did Molly say?
I didn't see what she said because I don't even watch that trash show no more.
I just saw the headline. Hold on, I'm going to look it up right now.
Shelton, I noticed you didn't give us an update on the score.
Oh, it's tied up now. Well, it's 12-11. 12-11, yeah.
Molly Karam blasts Browns trade of Watson. Let's see.
So she says...
slap in the face to all women.
Face to all women everywhere. They protected him so he gets all his money.
She need to blast Stephen A for letting go of Max because he was helping that show. That's what she need to be concerned with.
Yeah, see, my thing is this. I feel like if you feel a type of way, you got to stay indifferent until all the facts are out. What facts do we know? We know that the first grand jury wasn't going to press charges. Now they're going to a whole second grand jury. So if they don't want to press charges either, if they don't want to, you know, go after Deshaun criminally, and let's say the majority of these women, if not all of the women, never really play go after Deshaun civilly and nothing happens, what does that look like now? You know what I'm saying? Is it still a slap in the face to all women?
I'm not gonna knock her for her stance, because I can see where she, why and how she would feel that way. I totally get it. You know, I'm with you. I think that if they didn't bring charges against him with the second grand jury. And again, I don't know any of the details of that. All I know is they said, nah. Then that tells me that whatever evidence they're supposed to have just really isn't that damn good. So people that's been victims of sexual misconduct and stuff like that, they're going to be very sensitive to this. And I get it. But they got to also understand that the NFL has had a history of this. And, you know, what was she saying with Big Ben retired? I probably need to pull that up, you know, and see what her thoughts were, because he got accused of rape. As a matter of fact, he had two. It's not 22, but he had two separate incidents happen to him. So, you know, bring any of that up. I don't know. I didn't watch her. I didn't see her commentary on that. But in regards to the question, They are, and I expected it as much. And for me, what I did was I just did a little research. I went into the archives, and I was like, "What were people saying about Big Ben when he went through those things?" And they were on Big Ben too, you know, about, you know, the same thing. So, you know, for the most part, they've been very consistent in how they treat these sort of allegations in the media as well. So, it is what it is. He got himself in that situation that he's just going to have to deal with all of the backlash and stuff like that, you know, until this stuff is resolved. And the civil suits will not resolve it. The only thing that's going to resolve that, and it probably still wouldn't help, is if all of those cases are dropped or it was found out that they were lying. If there's any type of settlement, then this is going to tarnish him for the rest of his life. He got himself into this predicament, so he's just going to have to live with it. But he's going to be $230 million.
So, Ken, do you really think that if all of these get settled, nothing gets admitted, nothing like that happens, that is truly going to tarnish him? And the reason why I ask is because I think his accomplishments on the field are going to overshadow this situation, especially if it gets settled. Now, is it going to be some type of backlash and this, that, and the third? Of course. I'm not saying that there isn't in the short term. But long term, you think they're going to remember that? You think they remember Big Ben for the allegations? Or you think they're going to remember Big Ben for the Hall of Fame career and the championships that he won?
They remember him for the Hall of Fame career. But yeah, they remember him for that. And I think one of those allegations happened in 2014.
Mm-hmm. The only time I ever hear the thing about Big Ben comes from us. Mm. I don't hear nothing in the media about Big Ben and that stuff no more.
They're going to move on from it. Deshaun, you know, look, the last time we saw Deshaun Watson, the man threw for 4,800 yards. What was it, like 20 or 30 some odd touchdowns with 7 interceptions, and they traded D-Hop. And they traded D-Hop. They traded D-Hop. So he had a whole year to rest. This man's been balling ever since we saw him in Clemson. Why is he not going to return to form? Now, is he going to be rusty? Of course. It might take some couple games, but he's going to perform. And once he performs, and he could get Cleveland to constant playoff appearances as long as they keep the talent around him. Who, if this stuff gets settled, who's going to talk about it? Nobody's going to, and I'm not absolving him, and I'm not saying that it's right, and I'm not saying, oh, just sweep it under the rug. But what I'm saying is, as the masses, who is going to talk about it? Because it's going to be news under the bridge.
You know what? And King Gambit, 1992, he did. I forgot about Brett Favre. I forgot about Peyton Manning. They both had some shit come out on them. I think Peyton was when he was in college, if I remember correctly. And shit, mm-hmm. Brett Favre was sending, what was he sending? Dick pics or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And that shit is like, I forgot that shit even happened.
Wow. That's crazy.
But, I mean, these are 22 similar accusations against Deshaun Watson. I think that's what's very that's going to be hard for him, bro. That's going to be hard. That's not Bill Cosby numbers, but, you know, it's a lot. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but we'll see.
I don't know either, but I tell you what, I said it earlier today. They're coming after him again. They're not going to just let this rest. I don't think that they're going to just let him ride like that.
Which is why they got a whole second grand jury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they'll be coming. They're going to keep coming.
Yeah, and you know what? And depending on how these civil suits come out, like a lot of information can be made public out of that as well, not, you know, of course, criminally, but just public opinion. Because right now we have stories. We have the woman's side of things, and of course, well, Deshaun ain't really said anything, they're all very similar stories, but you know, we have the stories of what happened. They say happened. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's his mess. You gotta deal with it.
Yeah, he does. Igwe Ike, what's happening? He said, what are some bad sports transactions that you've seen? For example, Houston trading away D-Hop.
Everything that the damn Texans did under, what's that white man name?
Bill O'Brien.
Yep, everything up under him. Damn.
Let me think about that one.
Yeah, because you know, ain't that crazy how the brain works? You could think about all of the good moves, but the worst moves, your brain doesn't, you know, pin that real quick. Like, I can't think of bad moves like that. It doesn't come first of mind.
Blackballing Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson. I thought that was bad. Ultra Cinco Red. But those, I guess he's talking about specific transactions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. That'd be good. That'd be a good Dead End 365 series. Bad transaction. I
have to research that.
Yeah, I pulled up one, and I don't even remember this. It was on Bleacher Report, but this was, I think the article was a while ago. But this is interesting. So they have Marshall Faulk was traded to St. Louis for second and fifth round picks, and we know what happened with that.
That's not that bad, though.
Yeah, but remember what Marshall Faulk did when he got to fucking St. Louis?
Of course, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking about what Indy got. They got Edgerrin James. Because you remember, Edgerrin came before Peyton. People forget that. Edgerrin was drafted before Peyton Manning, right? Am I wrong?
I don't remember.
I could have swore Edgerrin was drafted first. And then they got Peyton after that. But either way, you know what I'm saying? Like, they replaced Marshall Faulk with Edgerrin James. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
The Raiders signing Antonio Brown.
That's a really, really good one.
Oh, I thought you were saying that they're going to re-sign him again. I was looking no.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah,
that was horrible, and we watched it all on Hard Knocks. So that was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Trading for Herschel Walker, the Saints. No, who they traded for? Who got all them? Who traded away all them picks? Was that Herschel?
Hey, I got one for you. I don't know.
Ricky Williams. They traded away a bunch of picks.
You talking about the Saints or the Dolphins?
Oh.
Because the Saints gave up a lot to get Ricky.
Yeah.
Just trade him like 2-3 years later after that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was crazy.
Ricky Memphis was my favorite running back when he was with the Dolphins.
And he was crazy as the best, but Memphis trading Paul Gasol in the second round pick for Kwame Brown.
Yes.
Javaris Crittenden, Aaron McKee, and Marc Gasol. Man.
Mm.
Now, obviously, Mark became something for them, but, you know, obviously, Paul was the better one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, this would be a good video or 365 series. I definitely have to research because I know they are definitely a lot more.
Yeah, Ricky. Thank you, Marty McFly. It was Ricky Williams. They traded basically their whole draft for Ricky Williams that year. The Saints did. The Vikings traded for Herschel Walker. They traded 5 players and 8 draft picks for Herschel Walker.
8?
8.
Yeah, no one player is good.
I forgot about that. But Jimmy Johnson set up the Cowboys dynasty with an unbelievable trade in 1990. Who was 5 players, 3 first round picks, 3 second round picks, and a third round pick and a 6th round pick. He played only 2 seasons in Minnesota and didn't reach 1,000 yards either year.
Hmm. What else we got before we get out of here?
We got one more super chat. Drink More Water said, which Westbrook will be remembered the most? Michael Westbrook for punching Steve Davis in the face. That's what I'll always remember. Steve Davis is from my area. He's from Spartanburg, South Carolina. So I always remember him as a monster because he was a track star, bigger than everybody else. He was always the biggest guy out there. But Michael Westbrook was a gang member, and he pretty much destroyed him. So that all that size didn't mean nothing that day.
I hope the triple-double Russell Westbrook is remembered.
Rodavious Hall, I don't know how I forgot about that, but you're 100,000% right, because I'm still mad about that to this day. I'll never forgive him for that, but the Hornets trading away Kobe Bryant was the most awful trade for Vlade Divac at that that you could have ever done. Like, I remember that first year thinking, well, Kobe wasn't, you know, he that good like they said he was. But no. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think triple double. I think we'll remember that.
Yeah. Cause we still give Clyde Frazier, right? What's his old school name? I see the Afro puff in my head.
Elgin Baylor?
No, who averaged? Who's the last person to average a triple double before?
Oscar.
You know, like think about how long ago that was and how we still talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And for the fact that Russell did it for all them years, you're going to have to talk about it because nobody else is going to do that. Like, nobody, the closest person to do that is LeBron, followed by Luka and James Harden. And Luka and James ain't going to do it. And LeBron sure is they're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So we're not going to see somebody do that for a very long time. So I hope that we do remember Russell for, you know, I'm deviating just a little bit, but did y'all see the answer he had when they asked him about his shooting slump?
Mm-mm.
And he said, well, I scored 23,000 points. Hall of Fame, bro. Hall of Fame. But I say that to say, man, I think we'll remember Russell Westbrook and what he's accomplished in this league.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Man, what happened to the show?
Oh, damn, he bounced? Or he came back?
Something happened to him. But yeah, he just disappeared. But
hey, other thing, Ken. One of my iPads died. Did y'all see what Ja is going to be evaluated in 2 weeks? He's been out for a week, and he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks with a knee.
Nah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so Ja's basically, I think Ja's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. The good news for Memphis is they're playing well without him. So that's a good thing for them.
Damn, man. I hope. Yeah, that seemed to have, it feels like that's kind of gotten buried. Yeah, I didn't hear about that at all.
He shelved and quiet about this Duke game.
Oh, that's 24-22.
Mm-hmm.
Duke who's took up, their though? First lead of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I still say the same thing. I ain't changing. I think that Texas Tech is going to win this game. I mean, Duke is shooting better from outside, but Texas Tech is just some horses. Dudes is tough.
Yeah, Texas Tech is making it tough for Duke. To me, all of Duke's shots have been difficult. Every single one. They're going to they have to move the ball, where Texas Tech, they're getting easier buckets.
Right. And that's going to be the difference down the stretch. But Duke is a well-coached team, now, and they got talent all across the board. I just think that Texas Tech is rugged. And it depends on, you know, how close it is going down the stretch, because you know Duke going to get them calls late.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and also speaking of injury front, have y'all been seeing these Zion workouts?
Yeah, I saw the one dunk he did.
They keep showing that dunk, but they were showing. I saw a video of him working out with Corey Brewer. Y'all don't know if y'all remember Corey Brewer that was in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I know you. Well, he was working out with him. Florida. I'm talking about Zion was looking real agile out there, and I'm talking about dunking easily, like one on one. Oh yeah, he was looking good. So they're saying he's not too far away. And what they were saying was, I don't know how true this is, but I saw somebody saying he may be back for that play-in game against LeBron. So we finally get to see Zion versus LeBron.
He ain't coming back.
I wouldn't risk it. Even for that type of box office, like, they're going to lose him anyway. So honestly, it don't matter. Play him. Get what you can out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Tech just went on a 5-0 run and got fouled again just now. So,
well, you know, we'll see how it play out. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for showing up again, man. Appreciate the love, appreciate the support, and we'll catch you guys Tuesday. We out. Peace.